Welcome to Life After Corporate, your ultimate guide for making the leap from corporate leader to entrepreneur. I'm Deb Boulanger, entrepreneur, executive leader, and founder of the Launch Lab for Women Entrepreneurs. This is your time to break through the glass ceiling once and for all and get your ticket to the C-suite. Come back each week to get the leading strategies, advice, and tools that will give you the skills and confidence you need to replace your corporate paycheck. Are you ready? Let's go. Are you building your business to scale, or will you eventually tap out of time and cap off your revenue? Welcome to another episode of Life After Corporate, my friend. Today, we are talking about how to build in leverage to your business. And we've been talking about how to fully step into your value and price your service offerings based on your return on advantage. And if you missed episodes 24 and 25, 24 was how is your pricing hurting your business? And 25 was return on advantage. Make sure you keep listening when this episode is over. So now that you've packaged your services into products, it's time to build leverage into your service offerings. And I am delighted to introduce you to one of my favorite people, Jane Duber. Jane is the founder of Global Experts Accelerator and creator of Smart Biz Quiz and the Virtual Academy Builder. She's been on the entrepreneurial path for 31 years and over that time has had 7 businesses. So I think Jane has a thing or two to share with you about scaling a business. Jane is a scaling expert and she works with many coaching and consulting businesses. And I know you will get a ton of value from our discussion today. She's a longtime friend and a mentor of mine, and it is my pleasure to share her with you today. Welcome, Jane.
Awesome. I want to start my day with that every single time. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to do this. You are so, you know, I love the whole mission here for you, Deb, is to help people take that leap. And I'm a big proponent of that because I believe that women have the power to create their own businesses. So just, I love what you do. I'm glad to be a huge supporter of you.
And I'm a huge fan of yours, of course, and a client. So yes. It's my pleasure. I always love to share things that are working and people who are sharing smart strategies with how to scale a business. And I know you've had several businesses and you're now running a 7-figure business. And it's exciting. It's exciting to see women like you succeed and also exciting to see how you're helping other women and other entrepreneurs succeed too. So let's dive right in. We've been talking about pricing, scaling, leverage in your business. And I want to ask you, how do people decide what to offer when they're packaging their services into products? What have you seen that works in helping entrepreneurs decide, what is it that I offer?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I mean, there's that question at the beginning of a business, right, Deb? So, you know, you work mm-hmm. with people who are in that early stage. And so, you know, one of the first things that you want to do is you want to think down the road as well as right now. And when I talk to entrepreneurs who are taking that corporate leap, you know, many times they discount the experience that they bring to the entrepreneurial stage because they've, you know, they've been paid to do it. They've done it within an organization. And so often I find that, you know, how you find the thing that you want to offer is you look at sort of the overarching history that you have in the career that you're considering moving on from. And you look at things like, you know, where have I really excelled? Like, you know, whether it was a project that you were given, whether it's a responsibility that everybody, you're the go-to person for that. So, you know, what's your zone of genius and where did that show up in your time working with the companies? Another thing we want to look at is what feels joyful for you. I mean, a lot of times, you know, when people are kind of in that space of like, oh, wow, like I got to find an idea because I want to launch this business, they forget that, you know, the entrepreneurial path, you're going to go through so many hiccups and challenges that when you're excited and you love what you do, it inspires you to kind of move through that, you know, with your eye on the vision. So just make sure, you know, not only the zone of genius, but also your place of joy. And then you also want to take a look at the market that you want to serve, right? This is foundational. This is very much what you help people do, Deb, which is, here's my specialty. Here's the things that I love to do. This is what I've created results. But then you're looking at, okay, who am I serving? Because who you want to serve depends on what you offer. So it's just a lot of, looking at those. I'm a big believer of journaling. I'm a big believer of talking to a lot of people. It's smart for you to do a survey. Once you decide this is the people who I really, really want to serve, you're a genius at helping people do that market research. So, I have to say it's not rocket science. It just takes time. And unfortunately, some people don't commit the time.
Yeah, it does take time. And I like to say that the theme song for entrepreneurship is long and winding road, right? And you're so right. We talked about it in the pricing episode when we talked about how just because you're starting something new doesn't mean you're new to this. You have decades of experience behind you that has led you here, whether it's life experience or experience in the corporate world. You said one thing that stuck with me forever. You asked two very powerful questions in a mastermind. And I believe, if I'm quoting you correctly, one was, what turns you on and what pisses you off?
I love the turns you on. I mean, that's kind of very much one of the questions that we use. And that in some ways, we have to ask that question. I think you're talking about when we look to what the movement is. So Deb is referencing, I like taking a person's mission and turning it into a movement, which means a mission is, this is who we are. This is what we're up to. Here's how we're going to impact change. But when you turn the volume up on a mission, it can become a movement. And that movement is actually, how are we going to change this niche? How am I going to be so forward thinking, so innovative, that we actually impact a change within an industry? And so the two questions are, what breaks your heart is the other one, or what pisses you off? And
that's great.
I just did it with someone and it was so great because in the beginning, she's like, oh, that's, I don't even know how to answer that. I was like, well, let's think, let's talk about it. And we came up with, she was on fire by the end of the process, because what she realized is that there were injustices that she'd never claimed that she wanted to fix in her industry. So injustices, what breaks your heart. Typically, in my world, what breaks my heart is that people have their work that they want to get out into the world, and they don't have the support or the resources to actually take the leap, to take it to a bigger, like, that's one thing is it just breaks my heart when I see brilliant people who have so much to offer and they don't have that path and they don't take the leap. So those two questions really, really help turn up the volume on the mission to actually move it into a defined movement that gets you up in the morning.
And I think you have to do that. And no matter what your business is, because it also helps you find the gap. And what is it that everyone else is missing? And how do I stand out? And let's face it, it's a crowded market out there. And no matter what you're doing as a coach or a consultant or speaker or trainer, author, you need to stand out. You need to stand out from the crowd. And your passion is not only something that'll get you out of bed in the morning, it's something that will translate into your brand and what you become known for and how people connect with you. And I think that's what you and I share, we have in common, definitely, is this passion to help people get out of their way, because we see the opportunity that there is no glass ceiling. There is no limit to your income. The only limit is really mindset. I was having a chat today. I was on a fireside chat about, is your pricing hurting your business? And
you mean not charging,
it's all about mindset.
Not charging enough, which is usually the mistake people make.
Right. Not charging enough, charging by the hour, all those early mistakes that new entrepreneurs make. And it keeps you broke. And it'll bootstrap you right back into a job.
There's something that you said, something that was so important, and I think it is one of the blocks. You said something about, when you're seeing people where they question, what do I have to offer? Right. Mm-hmm. And I want to go back to, I have a little thing I love to do with people. So that, when we're talking about what's your genius, what were you good at, what were you praised for, what were you doing when you were the go-to person within the company? One of the things to think about is when you then can step out of the confines of a corporate world where oftentimes there's red tape, there's limitations. Imagine that how good you were then. Imagine turning up the volume on that, because then all of a sudden you have the freedom, you know? So I always say, whatever you were good at, you're going to become even better at, because you're in control. You get to decide how things happen. And so it actually, I found that people who come from corporate into, you know, entrepreneurship, they are like all the things that they wanted to do, all the ways that they wanted to impact change or complete whatever that was. I mean, it's just crazy. I see them, you know, double and triple their effectiveness and their energy because they're in control.
You know, that is so insightful, because it has been such a learning journey for me over the last 8 years, where I feel like I've been peeling back the layers of my own onion and finally really seeing and embracing my own value. And it's so hard when you're still in the corporate world, because you've got, you know, quarterly performance reviews or biannual performance reviews, you've got your KPIs, and you're always being judged, and you're working within the confines of those goals and objectives. And there's a limited amount of self-expression and impact that you can make. And what I hear women entrepreneurs or those that are leaving corporate say is, I'm tired of fulfilling someone else's mission or someone else's vision.
Can we get an amen on that?
I mean, amen.
It's just like, I remember one of my clients, Jeff, he was in an institution, a learning institution. And I remember the conversation where it's like, you know, Jeff, two things I said. Number one, walk towards the light. It's going to be okay. Just walk towards the light. And then he just couldn't let go. And I remember we talked about, you know, the merry-go-round. We have one in Santa Cruz that's right near us. You know, the merry-go-rounds were the gold ring, the old-fashioned, where you grab that gold ring.
You know, I have a brass ring in my office.
Okay, there you go. So you already did it. So it's a metaphor for, you know, the only way that you can grab that brass ring is to stretch way, way out, right? But that's really what I love that you have a ring. Of course you do. It's so perfect. I think sometimes those little metaphors, those reminders, because it is scary. But man, on this other side, it's so, so good.
So, so good. And so let's future pace this for people who are listening here today. And because this is an intimate conversation with friends who are learning a lot and absorbing a lot from this podcast, when they first get started, you know, it's one-on-one coaching, and then maybe they launch a group program eventually in order to grow. And for most corporate escapees who become entrepreneurs, to replace that corporate salary, which is usually a mid six-figure salary, you need to build in leverage in your business, because you need time to step away. You need to be able to hire a team. You need to be able to work on your business as well as in your business. You can't be 100% in service delivery, because when you first start out, you're wearing all those hats: HR, marketing, finance, planning, strategy. So how have you seen, and how do you work with your clients? Because I sort of know the answer to this, because I am one of your clients. But share with our listeners today, what do you recommend for those who are ready to really build in some leverage and start to scale?
Yeah, I love this question. I'm so excited we get to talk about it. I want to start with a story, though, because it really takes me back to when I first really understood the power of leverage. So it's a quick story, but I think it's relevant, because it was the aha for me that changed the trajectory of my entrepreneurial life. So I was blessed to grow up in an entrepreneurial family. My dad, you know, in the beginning, he was so poor with my mom. They were shooting squirrel, like to eat. And then over the course, you know, he just was a brilliant businessman. So I got to live in a household and watch my dad start and grow businesses. And I knew from the beginning I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I went off, got my master's in international business. And then I actually started, you know, my husband, Mario. So I actually started a business with Mario right out of grad school. And my mom and dad, so we were about 6 months into the business. We were, you know, it was doing well. I mean, it was a creative idea, a little off the wall, but in so many ways, like, it was exactly what we needed to do in that beginning stages. So 6 months in. So my dad and my mom come to visit, and he was sort of witnessing, they were living with us for the vacation, for their visit. And he actually saw me working for the first 2 days. He saw me working in the business. And he said, "Sweetie, I want to share something with you." He said, "Without leverage, you don't have a business, you have a job."
Wow.
And yeah, it was, he saw me running ragged, right? He saw me doing everything. It's the octopus syndrome. You know, you've got your hands in everything. And I'll never forget the conversation. And it was hard because, you know, you always want your dad to approve of what you're doing. But it was really a profound shift for me in thinking, because most people think you add leverage later on. And what he's saying is, no, you design your business right up front to be leveraged. So we've started 7 businesses. So right there, you know, what I started is to build a sales force. That was the leverage for that first business. But every business that I started, whether I had partners, whether I was solo, the first question I asked myself wasn't, you know, it's after the, what do I offer? Who do I serve? All the basic foundations of starting a business. I asked myself, how can I create leverage ASAP, like immediately? How is that built into the first? Because Mario and I used to play the game of how quickly can we get to 7 figures? That was the game we played. And
it's such a good game.
And every single time we were able to do it earlier because we were getting better and better. And I did, I've done a webinar where every single business had a different kind of leverage. So, you know, it depends on the business. You know, for one, it was, you know, I'd had a sales force of 350 people. For another, we had an association, you know, that was online, you know, very virtual. And so it depends on the business, but the common thread of leverage is how can you serve more people without taking more time, right? So it's how do you, you know, it's that the whole concept of leverage is increasing impact without increasing time. And so for the world of, you know, what I would call the thought leader world, so coaches, consultants, speakers, trainers, authors, for them, it is to make sure that whatever their process is. So in the beginning stages, I know you've helped with people with this, Deb, is defining that client path. And then proving it, right? Proving it through that initial one-on-one work. But in that, even right out of the gate, as you're doing it, is to think of you're creating an online program that, you know, can be a modular based, if you want to talk about our steps. You're creating that program. And then the next step is you move to, so it's one-on-one, which is, you know, very time consuming, but you want to do that to create that proof of concept and get your case studies and your success stories. And then you move to move to the next stage, which is the done with you, which then what happens if you think about what most coaches do when they get to that second phase and they don't create the leverage of having some online resources, they just repeat themselves again and again. And the beauty of that second phase of creating online resources, you're still coaching. You're still, you know, most of your clients are going to have some form of coaching with you. But when you're on the phone with them, this to me is the most important thing in leverage. When you're on the phone with a client, you shouldn't be teaching. You shouldn't be sharing a methodology. You should be talking about how they implemented what they learned from that online lesson that you created for them. So what happens is you go from teaching and providing methodology and next steps one-on-one in phase two, you're then creating a process whereby every call that you have is not teaching. It's about talking about their challenges that came up. It's about the implementation, the results that they're seeing so they can fine tune. And it's interesting, and Deb, you know, we've built your online academy, so I know you're a proponent of this, but people worry that when they start to have, you know, take their content online, that it dilutes the effectiveness of their work. And, you know, case study, we've got built hundreds of academies. The reverse is true because you're able to have them. It's called reverse learning. It's something that's happening across the globe in higher education, which is no longer for most forward-thinking institutions, the students aren't going in there and hearing a lecture. They're listening to the lecture ahead of time, and then they go in and have discussion about it. And so that's the future of e-learning. That's the future of really being able to impact change in a leveraged fashion.
It's so amazing. And building the Launch Lab Academy was one of the best decisions that I've made in the last 2 years. And it has surprised me so much, Jane, because you're absolutely right. It was everything that I was doing one-on-one, and I found myself repeating myself in my one-on-one conversations with clients. I was drawing the same pictures over and over again, and I said, this is ridiculous. I'm wasting my time and I'm wasting their time when we could be accelerating their progress through this stage of the launch process if we were just working on it together instead of me teaching them what to do. And we built the Launch Lab Academy 2 years ago on your Virtual Academy Builder. And yay. I've been so surprised at how much people love it, that yeah. it is comprehensive. It gives them the foundation. I've added to it. I've not had to redo any of it or subtract anything from it at this point. And it certainly opened my eyes. And so now I'm building another academy. I haven't talked to you about this yet, but ooh, there's another one coming. I built a piece of it, you know, because then you can add on. So I built out the Standout Webinars course, and you can, you know, build out little courses that can be entry-level courses. So I'm interested to hear from you in some of the models that you're working mm-hmm. on with your clients that you've seen work.
Yeah, you know, I love this. Oh my gosh, thank you for the opportunity to have this conversation, because obviously I'm really, really passionate about this topic. And what I'll share is, you know, what's unique. So when you're wanting to deliver your content online, you're needing something called a learning management software. And learning management software is often referred to as LMS. You know, there are hundreds, probably even thousands of software opportunities out there in how to deliver content. So I have a lot of conversations with people about, okay, you're looking to do this, you know, let's see if our learning management software is for you. So the first thing that I want to just say, and then I'll go into the different modalities, is you want to pick an LMS, not for the short haul, but for the long haul. And when we talked about vision of the business earlier, you know, you want to think about where you're going to be 5 years from now, even though you're focusing on today, because we even have a service, what's called a migration service, because as people, you know, if they expand and they want to add more features and they want to create a better online experience, we've actually had to take content out of places like Thinkific and Kajabi over into this, because those, you know, in so many ways, those are simple, simple delivery systems that can't grow and scale to the degree that you know, what we've been able to do. And part of that is because we are, it's our own proprietary software and we have our own programming team. So when a client comes to us and says, hey, I'd really like it to do this, or I have this idea, like we go to work and we program a feature. And then when we have that feature for that client, it's available to everybody. So you don't even know. So this will be fun for you to know, Deb. I don't even think you know about some of the more recent ones. Of course, we have your basic course delivery, which is the one you have, which is a modular base. We track the progress. We measure comprehension at the beginning and the end. Like it's all very detailed in terms of how we can support you. You remember that you filled out your templates and, mm-hmm. and we absolutely. Built it and we built it for you. Yeah. So that's our core. The entry point is a course that is typically around 5 modules, and we give you the templates and we build it for you, so you never have to touch the tech. The other thing that we have added is something called a video vault. And a video vault, that's for a person who has, you know, independent information. So maybe they want to create, for your academy, let's say you wanted to create a resource center that was topic driven, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example of, we have one client who's like a world-renowned dog trainer, right? So we created a video vault for him. He averages about $1,000 a day in video sales just from doing Facebook ads. And these are videos that are like between $79 and $159, teaching different parts of dog training. So that's one way. And it's just been amazing to watch that whole process of creating a resource center. And what happens is they buy a video, then when they go in, they have access to that video, but they see all the other videos that are available. So we're seeing 50% of the people who purchase a video have purchased 2, 3, or 4 more videos. So it's that whole concept of the best way to make a sale is to sell to the people you've already sold to, but it's automated. You don't have to do anything. So
that's amazing. I love that idea. I love that idea. I love the idea of $1,000 a day without having to do anything to earn it. I love that.
I'm super happy.
The subtext here too about what you're talking about. So I want to highlight it for everyone who's listening is that Jane not only built a consulting business, she built out software tools. And so you have residual income from your products as well as your services. And I find that as another appealing strategy for building leverage into your business is if you have some IP, can you program it into a tool?
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I'm married to a programmer, that helps.
I know how
our two came about. So the e-learning side is when we first decided to take our content. This was back when I had an association with people in 20 countries and I was on the plane too much. I was like, I need to create an online learning center. And I didn't like any of the LMS. So I turned to him and we created that. If you think about it, and maybe somebody who's listening has an idea. And the thing is, if I overthought it, if I worried about the how, I would have never started. And I think that's one of the challenges with people with a business is they have, go to vision first and really try and dial down I don't know how to do it, because I've never known how to do anything at the start of any of my businesses. I started with the idea. Like there's the assessment company, which you also use. We have assessment software. And I didn't ask, I don't know what the software should be. What I said was, I need a way to profile people before I get on a sales call so I can close the sale and serve them at a higher level. And so I found the problem, which is I'm getting on calls with people who aren't my ideal client or who really aren't committed. And so how do I fix that? And how I fixed it was create an assessment. So it was I made it all up. But if I had said, I don't know how to program that, it would have stopped me from the get-go.
Okay, that was a mic drop moment. It really was. It's a mic drop moment because so many times, and I'll be fully transparent, that I've thought of ideas and just said, I don't know how to do an app, or
right.
I don't know how to scope that out. And it's true. So mind blown, so listeners, my friend, just write down all the big vision ideas that you've ever had. And it's not about the how, it's about the vision. You can find someone who can help you with the how for sure.
Absolutely.
So you've got these businesses and give us an update. You're now helping people with certification programs. Is that right?
There's a great book by Michael Hyatt called The Mission-Driven Leader. So I would say like maybe 80% of our clients the last year, they're in certification now and they want to create a certification program, or they're on track in the year or two because they want to eventually have either certification or train the trainer or licensing. Right? Those are the three things that really no one really is doing well out there in my place. But so certification, train the trainer, and licensing. So those, I'm really just so passionate about it. Because, Deborah, one of our we have four core principles, and one of them is exponential empowerment. Like when we empower one, we empower many. And that's what really inspired the whole e-learning, because when we build your course for you, you're able to empower more people. So this scaling, so I'm modeling the scaling, which is, okay, let's take it to the next level, which is when I empower you to then empower others through certification, like it's an exponential empowerment on steroids, right?
Right. What certification is, if people aren't familiar, is
good.
You take your methodology, your tools, and you train other people in how to deliver them. So it's like you have an army of people out there who are able to deliver on your IP and deliver the same value that you've created so that you have more impact through the work that you've done.
Right, exactly. Well done. I like that.
Thank you.
So Ivan, going back to Ivan, who we did the vault for, the second project after the vault was to do a certification. So we just took his second certification group through. And there are I need to do a training on this, Deb, because I've learned so much about it. But, when you're getting into certification, there's some legal ramifications and you have to be careful how you build it. But we did $260,000 during COVID.
Wow.
And we ran two groups through, and he's on track for seven figures, through the vault and through the certification program. So here, I haven't shared this with you. So this is my like next big, like, oh, I can't wait to do this. So
oh, I'm bringing together. This is inside scoop from Jane. This is so juicy.
I know. So I've been interviewing people who have certification programs to see what the challenges are. And I've interviewed, like, there's Mitch Ross is, I would say, you know, he's on the end of his career, but he is like the one that's built all the big certification programs for all the big gurus. I'm putting together a faculty, and we're going to come together and launch a company that specializes in certification. And each of the people on the team are going to really handhold people through the process, because it's there's a lot of moving parts, and you got to be careful because there's some legal ramifications. But I got to say that this is my new vision, my dear. And so I'm really working the rest of this year to get my other two, you know, companies, the team in place, so I can get all of that, you know, working. It's working on its own, but I want to grow them both a little bit. But then, starting the last quarter, we're going to put everything in place, and 2021, we're going to launch that big thing, and I want it to go global.
Oh my God, Jane, you know, you're so inspiring. I don't know where you get the energy. You're always reinventing and launching something new and solving a new problem. And I love, of course, that you're researching your big idea and you do things so well. One of the benefits that I love about the Academy Builder is that I get to turn everything over. So many entrepreneurs say, you know, the technology confuses me. And you're right. There are standard off-the-shelf tools, and they're all boring. And they don't generate engagement. What you've done is really understand what is the differentiator in this market? How do people learn? And what is missing? And then you build in those tools. And I think that's a great differentiator on the Global Experts Accelerator and all the packages that you have, because you have customized them to what people need and what the gaps are. Because I don't want to spend my time loading content or...
Well, I mean, I think there's a lesson here for, I think, everybody who's listening. So, I mean, the reality is, you know, there are a lot of LMS out there who are running, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, you know, through 10,000 clients, right? So they're, you know, most LMS, their model is we want to have as many clients as we possibly can to run as many students through. And so that model is, you know, you're going to have a little bit of one size fits all, and a little bit of cookie cutter, as well as you have to do the technology yourself. And so when we looked at this industry, like, I was intimidated. I got to say, like, when we came back around and did the 2.0 version, I mean, in you know, I'm just like everybody else. It's like, oh, my God, like, how can we even compete? We're just a little guy. You know, we have the Tesla of online delivery, but... You know, we don't have that same breadth. I don't have a humongous, you know, 4-person marketing team. We're just a small team. But what I really found was, you know, I don't want to be that. I want to have relationship with our clients. I want to, you know, I'd rather have fewer clients that we really walk through the process and serve at a really high level. And so most people who come to us, they don't want to deal with the technology. They want personal guidance. And, you know, I'd rather serve fewer people at a deeper level than go for that mass market. And that's, I think, you know, when I fall prey to comparison, which is oftentimes what happens for people, mm-hmm. if I start to compare myself to others, it shuts me down. You know, but if I can say, no, I don't want to be that, that's not who we're going to be. And I'm, you know, I'm going to get out of my feeling small place and go to my big place to say, no, I can carve out this niche for us. So it really is. It's really the e-learning that it's the most scalable. It has the most potential to create scale with. Anyway, I thought it would help people to realize, just like, you know, like everybody else, I sometimes compare myself and I have to stop myself, because we don't need to be them. We just need to be the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, there's nothing good that comes out of a comparing mind, right? You're either better than or less than, and you end up creating something that's more powerful if you focus on the customer rather than, you know, who else is out in your market, because then you get to find the gap, you get to fill the gap and do something that you're passionate about. I also love that you said that, you know, I don't want to be a giant company. I want to have connections with my clients. But you also have the opportunity to walk away from your business. I remember a couple of years ago, you had a month off. Was it just a month or was it a whole summer? I can't remember.
Well, it was after my mom's passing, I decided mm-hmm. to do a 1 month sabbatical, and it kind of turned into three. But it was only because we can't have a conversation about leverage without talking about team. And the reason I was able to take a sabbatical is because I had a team and they had my back. And yeah, I checked in with them here and there, but you know, that's what everybody's wanting, is that time freedom as well as financial freedom. And, you know, having a great business model that pays you well and having a great team that, you know, in so many ways, they, you know, when they're so connected to the mission and they see the vision, they were able to step in and support me through that.
So imagine a business where you had leverage and you had team and you were able to walk away for a month sabbatical. I mean, that's pretty cool. Most entrepreneurs I know are working 7 days a week, no vacations in the last 3 years. I'm forcing myself to take 5 days off next week.
Oh, good. Yay, you. Well, I mean, yay. I think, you know, there is that time period where it's just, you know, I'm going to have to stand balls to the wall, right? It's just that, and I'm about to go into that because we're kind of relaunching Smart Biz Quiz and doing a bunch of stuff in the fall. I'm also thinking about the certification business. So I've maybe been working, I don't know, 20 hours. Just, you know, we just finished with Ivan as a client, and I did kind of take, I probably went down to 20 to 15 hours a week just because it was intense. And so, you know, also that whole concept of, you know, continuity in how your work. No, it's oftentimes ebb and flow, right? And I'll tell you, by the way, this is girlfriend talk, but I know what I'm coming up against, not up against, but I know what I'm stepping into. And so what I've done is just really, really upped my personal care, my exercise, my diet, because I know I'm going to need a ton of energy. I'm excited. So I know I'll put in the extra hours that it's going to take. But I also had to, you know, be honest to say, you know, in order for me to have that, I've got to go into like hyper mode of personal care and, you know, working out every day and eating clean and just really taking care of myself. So, you know, I'm 60, right? And I'm going to go for another round. And, you know, as a legacy, I'm at that legacy stage entrepreneur. I define that as a person who's really wanting to create something in that, you know, final stretch of their entrepreneurial career. And I want to do this big and I want to, you know, I want to sell the businesses. And yeah, so I'm like really, really into the take care of me so I have the energy to do what I want to do.
That's so important to understand too. And yes, when you're in deep development mode, it is, you know, balls to the wall and putting it all out. But there's the passion that's driving behind it, the thought about the legacy, the thought about that this is your last impact or this last stage of your entrepreneurial journey. And so there's passion behind it. But I'm so glad that you mentioned the self-care and the exercise and the clean eating, because the clean thinking doesn't happen without clean eating. And
That's a great line. Yes.
Right? Clean thinking doesn't happen without clean eating and moving the body so that things aren't stagnant and making room for meditation and journaling, as you mentioned when we first got started. So I'm so excited to see where this leads. And guys, I hope you took a bunch of notes here and that you got a bigger picture of what's possible and how to build in leverage early in your business when you're just getting started. It's not a later stage thing. This is a right now kind of thing to think about, you know, what can you rinse and repeat and where can you build in programs or courses that are one to many or do it yourself or done with you. And thinking bigger, I know I got something out of today's conversation too, Jane, the vision, stick to the vision. You don't have to figure out, you don't have to know how it's going to happen. That was a big aha for me. So thank you for that, my friend.
Absolutely. And I just also want to just say, I mean, figuring out the what, which is how we started, I want to bring it back to that. You know, don't do it in a vacuum. Please don't do it in a vacuum. And I have to say, Deb, you know, I've always pointed people your way for that step, because, you know, where we work with people is once you know, that there's some clarity around that, and they are looking for that leverage piece. That's where I can dive in. And I love when I talk to people who work with you, because they're so much more clear. They're so much more confident. You help them do the market research that's necessary. And I find it so much easier for us to craft the vision of what we can do in the online piece, because you've done such a great job of having them really, really be mindful and, you know, make sure that the idea, you know, all the boxes are checked off. So if anybody, I know that's one of your zones of genius. So I want to make sure they know that.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that endorsement. It means so much from you. So if you can't tell, this is like a mutual admiration society between Jane and I. You know, I love referring clients to you. I love it. And I'm excited that next week we're going to have a conversation with the Launch Lab members, and we're going to talk about funnels and where quizzes fit into your funnels. And that's going to be a lot of fun. But where do people find you? How can they take advantage of your offerings? Where do we send people if they want more?
Thank you for the question. I mean, so we didn't talk about assessments. That's what I'm going to talk about with the Launch Lab. But the other company that I have is the software company, and it's really the assessment. So it's an online personalized assessment. And it's really the first place for us, because we have, you know, you can imagine all these years, we have a lot of resources, and we want to make sure the resource that we provide is aligned with where you are in your process. So you go to businessaccelerationquiz.com. And it takes about 4 minutes to complete. You'll see there's like a couple steps to go through. And then there's some open-ended questions at the end. And here's what I love about the assessment. Not only does it help us understand where you are so we can give you appropriate resources, it's also like one of the best things you can do for yourself. Because honestly, the first step to change is really knowing where you are. And so you'll get a response, and it'll have your scoring in each of the areas that we've had you assess. And so you'll get clear. Where are you on track? Where are you knocking it out of the park? And what are those missing pieces that are really holding you back? And so I would suggest that's the best place to start, Deb. And then we have some resources that they'll get, and they'll be in the community. And that would be the best way to start it.
So that would be businessaccelerationquiz.com. And we'll put that in the show notes. So it's an easy click. You can just grab the show notes and click through to that. I think I just created like my 8th or 9th quiz yesterday, Jane.
So it's fun, huh? Once you get the hang of how to use it, there's 7 different ways to use it. So I think you've probably covered all of them.
Well, I don't know. There's probably things I still need to learn, but I find it so valuable, and it's such a key piece of the automation. And when we talk about the sales process, I would love to bring you back so that we could talk about the place for quizzes in sales. So with that, I want to thank you so much, my friend. This has been so much fun to share your insights and your wisdom with the Life After Corporate community. And it's just fun to spend time with you.
I know. We're soul sisters. And thank you for the opportunity. There's nothing I love more than really helping people see that the thing that they're really wanting, that independence, the freedom, and also the creative expression and the income, like it's there for you, around you. How many people have done that? And the fact that you're here listening to Deb, that you're drawn to information, that you're looking at this from that perspective, I just want to say, like, yeah, walk towards the light. Go for it.
Go for it. Well, that's it for today, my friend. That's it for this episode of Life After Corporate. We'd love for you to stay connected and join the Life After Corporate Facebook group. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, my friend. If you enjoyed this show, please head over to iTunes and subscribe and leave us a review. And be sure to hop over to the Life After Corporate Facebook group and join other growing entrepreneurs to get weekly tips on how to create more money and meaning doing work you love.